I, Luke, send a message to all those that follow our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a terrible evil in the world. Darkness is spreading. I know you are suffering persecution. Faith is being tested. I know you question the way. But I've come to Rome to find Paul, to write his story, to bring hope, to bring light into this present darkness, and to remind us all how God changed a hateful man who will change the history of the world.
Luke, am I dreaming? Where sin abounds, grace abounds more.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right. Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back. Great to be here with you today. I want to get you plugged into a new film that is coming out. You are going to love this. I think it's going to continue to get a lot of buzz. And it's about one of the great biblical figures, St. Paul. You know, when you think of saints, I know for many of us, we tend to think of them as kind of marble statues, you know, these painted figures, you know, these incredibly holy people in some distant, faraway land. You know, we can never make that connection. They were holier than us, set aside by God for some unique mission. But that's not the true story of saints. They were every bit as fallen and as frail as you and I are. And they did every day human things that we all do. They dealt with, you know, all the annoying and frustrating and angry kinds of things that we deal with. The difference between them and really us is that they learned to bring all of that to the Lord and allow him to work in their life. And that was certainly the case with St. Paul, who, if you're reading the Gospels, he wrote in his letters, I live, no longer I, but Christ lives within me. And from being a man who persecuted the church to the point of going to literally kill Christians to actually losing his own head, being martyred in witness to the gospel, I think he's one of the greatest conversion stories in the history of the church. And there is a brand new film out called Paul, Apostle of Christ. And what it does, it dramatizes his story so that we can kind of, I guess, see it in a little bit of a different way. One of the great stars of that film is Jim Caviezel. And I know you probably recognize that name. He played Jesus in the Passion of the Christ, but you probably can also recognize him from Person of Interest or The Thin Red Line or Frequency or The Count of Monte Cristo or Angel Eyes with Jennifer Lopez, amongst a number of other productions that he's been in. But he's playing Luke in this film. And, you know, Luke is Paul's companion at the end of his life. And what the story does, it follows Paul, who is now suffering alone in a Roman prison, awaiting his execution under the Emperor Nero. And at incredible risk, Luke actually visits, Paul to comfort him and to tend to him and really to question, to transcribe, to smuggle out Paul's letters to this growing community of believers. And this all under the brutal and very inhumane persecution of Nero. And ultimately, these men and women will spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and change the world. And Jim is here today to share a little bit with us about the movie and the impact he thinks it's going to have. Hey, Jim, thank you for your time today. Great to talk with you.
Thank you, Drew, for having me.
This is another biblical film. I had seen the trailer earlier. I think it's going to be an extraordinary film. I'm just curious on a personal level, before we talk about the film, why did you decide to take this one up? I mean, a very successful run with Person of Interest and a lot of other secular movies. What was it about this particular film that said, I want to be a part of it?
I look at the material as a whole, first of all, you know, whether Mel Gibson's, before I did that, I read the script, the screenplay to The Passion of the Christ, and then I was told that it is anti-Semitic, and I went, where?
Yeah, right.
Where in this? Why is it? How do you know so much about my faith? Because I've been a Catholic my whole life, and I don't see anything anti-Semitic. And people that would tell me what I should or shouldn't do have not even seen the film. And then it became a little bit personal to me, because it's like, you know, the saints in heaven are like my brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. You know, St. Paul is my uncle. You know, they were personal to me. And our Lord, he goes with me everywhere, in my heart. And but just like anything, I would read the material and go, that's not that good. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jim, you did Jesus, now next movie, play Peter or play Jesus again in this. Right. And I'd read it and I go, this is not very good. And that's what happens. You do, once you hit a home run,
yeah,
if you're Will Ferrell and you hit a home run in Elf, you know, they want to make Elf too.
Mm-hmm.
Other comedic roles will come up, but they will not see you as, you know, a dramatic actor. Same thing if you play Jesus, well, that's all you play.
Right.
But Mel had actually seen me in The Thin Red Line and did this, and this Count of Monte Cristo. And then I went for quite a while continually just looking for good material. There were other religious roles that came up, very few comedies. Now, I used to audition for a lot of comedies. In fact, the first play I ever did was a comedy, a Neil Simon play.
Yeah.
But after you play Jesus, you don't tend to get the comedy roles.
It's pretty serious.
You try to find some moments in there that are funny or whatnot. But when this script came, the first thing that hit me was that after reading it, I have to do it.
Yeah.
But the theme that came through is that love is a greater motivator than fear. And that also was true in The Passion of the Christ. When I was, it was required of me to be on a cross and in the freezing cold. And initially, I'd said, Jesus, you know, I it's so hard to play you. And day in, day after doing that and giving back up on that cross, I mean, I was hypothermic. And at some point there, I said, I don't want them, the world to see me. I want them to see you.
Yeah.
And the potential of what that had in the movie and what eventually happened when the world saw it was people got to have an account of Jesus there. How did that happen? I went to Mass. Yeah. I took the Eucharist. I went to confession. I prayed the rosary. And I was heavily involved in the scripture. And that opportunity again came up in Paul the Apostle.
Yeah.
Of Christ.
So you're playing Luke in this one. What do you want the world to see in this film then?
Listen, modern day Christianity, and I would have to say to people, because a lot of them think, well, we're all called. Jesus paid that death for me. Jesus died that death. So he did, and now I don't have to do that. Not so much. Not true. I mean, certainly our Lord loved Peter and Andrew and Luke, and all these guys were martyred. And these guys knew that they were giving their lives for a God who had already done so for them. And at a moment's notice that we may have to risk our reputations, our namesakes, or even our very lives to stand for the truth. And if you don't believe that, go talk to the Chaldeans and Syrian Christians that were butchered for the last 10 years in the Middle East. And we've closed our ears to that. I never thought that being a Christian would be the easy road, but that my heart, even on a cross, even in the freezing cold, nothing could stop my burning heart from not loving Jesus. And I'd give my life. And to the point, even if lightning strikes me, which it did, is important, and I took it as such as an actor to say, no, I want people to see why I am proud to be a Christian. I'll give an example. When we were doing the Apostle Paul, James Faulkner, who's playing Paul in it, and he has this incredibly beautiful voice.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Nat King Cole, velvety sound. What I, in my mind, pictured what he would sound like, Paul. And he proclaims the Gospels, the word of Jesus Christ, to the head of the Romans, the head of the world, basically telling him, no, I will not turn my back on our Lord. And there are only a few of these guys that would do that. And still, in this time as well, very few people that have been asked from God to do things and have turned their back. And turn have become political, have become like politicians, like, for example, Pilate.
Yeah.
But the Bible is a living word of God. Some of us are playing, get to play Jesus like me. Some of us get to play Paul like James Faulkner. It's a living, breathing word. But some of us choose to play Judas, Pilate, Herod. And who are we playing in this short life of ours now?
Yeah. Well, you know,
that we have not a lot of time that we have on this earth, and I've been blessed.
Yeah,
see,
true.
These are persecutions that we go through, but there I've been blessed to be able to suffer for our Lord, because I know He loves us, but not a lot of us love Him.
Well, Jim, I love your openness and your eloquence, and I could not agree with you more. I do believe the solution to the problems and the ills of the world is Jesus Christ. I do believe that, and I think more than ever, we who believe in Christ and are followers of Him have to stand up and reflect Him in whatever our vocations are, whether I'm a broadcaster or an actor or whatever our role is. And I love the fact you did take this role. I think this film's going to be extraordinary. And folks, if you're just joining me, I'm speaking to one of the stars of it, Jim Caviezel, today. He plays Luke, who's a friend of St. Paul in it. The thing I took away from this is the humanity of so many of these characters. St. Paul was human just like the rest of us. I mean, he was a man who hunted Christians down, rounded them up, persecuted them. Was there, I believe, at the martyrdom of St. Stephen. And here he goes to be one of the great evangelists of the early church. And thanks to him, you know, the church as we know it today in terms of how quickly it spread, and he ultimately gave his head for the faith. St. Paul was so human like the rest of us. How does the film portray that? And why is that such an important message also to communicate through this film?
Saul's name, by definition, means great one. Paul's name, by definition, means little one. The definition of that, what does that equal? What I learned from this film is that by one simple change of a letter, in order for us to be great in the eyes of God, we have to become very small. I find that it is incredible that if we looked at our lives, how with just one little change in our lives, in our names, of who we are, what kind of world this would be. And I learned that these individuals, these saints, were just like us. They're ordinary sinners like us, but chose to change a little. And they let the Holy Spirit do the rest. For without these few martyrs, Christianity would not have existed.
Yeah.
Yes, there would be no way God could. We are part of this whole plan. God cannot do it without us. This creation chooses not to love Him back. Proliferation of Christianity ends. But what happens is these little imperfect people, these little whack jobs like, yeah, John the Baptist, a little bit eating locusts and honey out there and crazy head, little idiots like Jim Caviezel that are out there from small towns that baled hay, that worked a combiner, that God's speaking to me and saying, I need you to come out and do this. What would you want of me? I'm not smart enough to be an actor. I can't learn Aramaic, Hebrew, or Latin.
Mm-hmm.
This film is going to be so powerful for families, but just for that one ragtag guy that walks in there and goes, wow, Jesus is speaking to me right now. I can make a difference. I can do it. And I know that, I know who I am. Man, I have ADD. I have ADHD, HDTV. I mean, I've got it all. It's hard for me to memorize my lines. But God knows that I can do it. And He asked me, I'd like you to be an actor. If He says that to me, I believe it can be so. I don't know how it's going to get done, but I know He believes in me. And if He believes in me and I know what kind of sinner I am, man, I love Him. I tell Him that every day. And we need to tell Him more. This film, I know, is going to be phenomenal. I know if you loved The Passion of the Christ, you're going to love this film. You're going to be so proud. One of the scenes in there when Faulkner's speaking and he's proclaiming the gospel of Christ to the Roman, the head of the Marilius, wherever the heads of the Romans were right there.
Right.
And I said, that's it. That's who we are. And that's what He's basically wanting us to go out and tell the world. Be proud. Be proud to be Christian. Be proud to be Catholic. Be proud to be evangelical. You're proclaiming the Word of God. Now we get in arguments here, who thinks this is right and whatever. Hey, at the end of the day, you have to ask God what the truth is. I know what that is in my heart. There are many Catholics out there, and they've heard me say this, and I'll tell you, I have friends that will give their lives for Jesus, like me, and I love them. We come from different denominations or whatnot,
mm-hmm.
But my God, God is using them, and they are going out and they're speaking the word of God, and they're affecting people. And they're, to me, that guy might be from a different denomination, but man, he's more of a Catholic than a lot of Catholics I know.
Yeah.
They don't say anything about their faith. They're not proud of the Blessed Virgin Mary. They're not proud of our Lord.
Yeah.
They're not proud of the angels and saints. And they continue, like during Christmas, you know, happy holidays. I said, what are you saying that for, mm-hmm. man? You're a Catholic. You know it's Merry Christmas. Well, I don't want to stir things up. Oh, I said, well, God help you if you do, because, you know, Jesus never did. He never stirred it up. I don't know this kind of Lord that that has been out there now, that people are not willing to carry their cross.
Yeah.
And nothing could be further from the truth. When you look at when we go into the Mass and they have the tabernacle there and we move it off to the side,
yeah.
you know, Jesus should be in the center of the church. But that altar table is not a dinner table. It is a sacrificial table where they're going to take not the bread, but the flesh and blood of Jesus and break him.
Yeah.
He's going to die for us right there at that moment. You know, I get, as a basketball player, years growing up, I got into it mentally in the game because I knew that it might be required of me in the last few minutes of the game that I might throw up, but I was going to give it everything I had, and I wasn't going to let my teammate down. I can't let Jesus down in this time.
Yeah.
And it's just going to take some little kid that's listening to your radio station right now that's like, is going to believe, is going to have an ideal in his heart, and he's going to go, you know, I can do that too. And I hope that happens. I hope that mm-hmm. how I'm living my life helps change others. And I know that when they go and see this film, and they families go see it, you know, when you've got all these divorces now and mm-hmm. families see it, their hearts are going to come alive, and it's going to start burning in them. And that's what we need yeah. right now. We got to not be afraid. What does Pope John Paul say? Do not be afraid.
Right.
Do not be satisfied with mediocrity. Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.
I'm just curious. I share your passion, believe me. What is it about your faith that got you so fired up? Because this is not a common message coming from somebody who is in Hollywood or a celebrity. I don't know how it's received in that particular culture and even how you're treated. But, I mean, there is a deep passion that you have and a deep love for your faith that's you know very evident here. What was it in your own experience that brought you to this level of profession of your faith?
When I was a kid, I listened to a lot of Ronald Reagan. I saw a lot of myself in that man. I saw him as the same kind of guy. It wasn't easy. I heard him say one time that evil is powerless if the good are unafraid. And Jesus says, do not be afraid. I go before you always. I literally take it seriously. I literally believe that. And I've had many miracles in my life, including surviving a lightning strike
yeah.
and a few others.
Yeah.
But just the fact that he would want me to play him. I was just over at the Reagan Library
mm-hmm.
and was so touched at the things and how he saw that there is evil in the world. It's good versus evil. That evil is powerless if the good are unafraid.
Yeah.
And then he went on to say that you and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll send them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness. Yeah. For we're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And it's been said if we lose this war, and in so doing lose this great way of freedom of ours, history will record with the greatest astonishment that those that had the most to lose did the least to prevent it from happening. Well, I think it's high time now we ask ourselves if we still even know the freedoms that were intended for us by our founding fathers.
Yeah.
Pope John Paul, another man that affected my life.
Oh, yeah.
Every generation of Americans needs to know that freedom exists not to do what you like, but having the right to do what you ought.
Yeah.
Man, when I listened to those guys speak, my heart was on fire. I started picking up the Word of God, reading it. I started getting into the Mass and really believing it. My heart was on fire. I would never sell out for this. Never, ever. I would never sell my Lord out for 30 pieces of silver or $30 million or whatever that takes in Hollywood. And I have to wonder, when I see politicians and people that are selling out left and right, that are Catholic or Christian, whatever they are, left and right, they're selling their brothers and sisters out. They're selling our Lord out. At some point, I just could never be that guy that when I was on that cross and I was freezing hypothermia day in and day out. But what can stop a burning heart in the freezing cold? Absolutely nothing.
I love it.
I'm not going to let my teammates down. I've always been that guy.
Yeah.
I know our Lord loves us all, but I want to be one of them. If there's just a few of us on this earth that loves him in an extraordinary way, so that he would feel loved. And as I got closer and closer to him on the Passion, I felt his loneliness. No, you don't want to get too close to me. Why? Because you'll find that I'm broken, I'm lonely. Let me be that. Let me be close like that. And so when I read this script, Paul, Apostle, and Luke was willing to risk his life to get us these. I owe it to him. Yeah. Get it out there. Yeah. I owe it to this ability that was given and all the things I have. If I never got, I don't even have my degree from college. But I have one thing. I got the Mass, man. I got the Mass. I got the Eucharist.
I love it.
And it gets in my DNA. And I go into zones. I could never speak or do the things that I can as an actor.
Yeah.
I'm just able to do it because God can do something greater than me. I can't do myself.
Right.
But it still takes my yes.
Amen. Well, I want to thank you, Jim, for taking so much time to be with us today. The movie's called Paul, Apostle of Christ. You can learn more at paulmovie.com. Paulmovie.com. And go out and see it. I saw the trailer already. I'm looking forward to see it. It's going to be an extraordinary, I think, blockbuster. Jim, you'll be in our prayers. You're reaching about 133 million people nationwide here, 133 million households. So I know your message touched a lot of hearts, and I'm going to ask them all to pray for you as well. So have a good day, okay, brother?
You too. Thank you.
You got it. That's James Caviezel, folks. Check out the new movie. It's coming out, an exciting look at the story of Paul, who really suffers alone in a Roman prison. And Jim plays Luke, who actually records a story and brings it nationwide. We'll be back with more right after this.